Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
UPS is now hiring package handlers in Louisville. Package handlers earn competitive wages. And with UPS's Metropolitan College program, you can graduate 100% debt-free. Get in the game with UPS. Apply now at upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com.
Good afternoon. I'm Nick Valvano. The Sports Center update brought to you by our friends at Liquor Barn. Liquor Barn delivers, and our promo code ESPN, and your first delivery is free. Kentucky Hoops, they're the new number four team in the land, according to the AP. Moving up from five last week. This coming off a victory over number one Tennessee in Rupp Arena Saturday, 86-69. Nice. The Cats were led by P.J. Washington's 23 points. Keldon Johnson shipped in 19 after the game. Coach Calipari giving some props to another one of his Wildcats, Reed Travis, saying that his play helped P.J.'s.
The difference maker in the game for us was Travis. Now, his numbers, you know, 11-8, and you could say what you want, but he was a beast against another beast. Like, it negated that. You're not going to dominate us. By him being able to do that, PJ didn't have to play him. So now PJ could go and do what he does. I told PJ, you need to hug my man after that game.
Cats, they're in action tomorrow, taking on Missouri. That game tips off at 9 and can be seen on ESPN. U of L, they're down to 18 in the latest AP, dropping two spots after escaping barely by the skin of their teeth against Clemson, 56-55. Christian Cunningham led the way for the Cards with 18 points and 5 assists. The Cards were held to a season-low 19 points in the first half. However, there were some positives, says Coach Chris Mack post-game. For instance, the Cards beat the press.
We are able to get over the half-court stripe, get into a set play, which resulted for a Jordan dunk and one, gave more separation. I think the very next time they pressed us, we did exactly what we wanted to. We flashed a guy. The wing flew down the floor, and Ryan makes a great pass, I think, to Malik, and he dunks the ball.
The Cards, they're next in action Wednesday, taking on Syracuse. 7 p.m., that game's on ESPN. More Joe and Tom next.
Welcome back, Joe Kelly, Tom Farmer, the sweet, sweet sounds of Public Enemy in the background. We're not public enemies. We're your friends from the Crunchstone, hanging out with our friend Nicky B. What's up, Nick?
Howdy.
All right. So we're going to
go inside baseball real fast.
Go.
All right. That Sports Center totally took me off guard.
Hit it.
I was not ready.
All right.
Yeah, no, I want to say I'm a radio consummate professional, because those of you listening in radio land be like, well, that just sounded frantic and haggard like most of your sports centers.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, that totally, I didn't realize it was next in the log. You and I were having a fun time bidding and bantering about the rejoin music, and all of a sudden I hear that the old sports center music, and, yeah, I had to panic. So I scrambled around, and I think I pulled it together. Just, you know. So anytime I hear that, terror, absolute terror from not looking at the Maestro log.
It's like checking your phone, waiting to get text back from somebody who said they'd come do the show.
Something like that. I have been puckered most of today.
I'm sorry, buddy.
Gonna say. No, it's all right.
I don't like people to start their weeks off stressful.
Nick wears it well, though. Like I said, he greeted me with a smile and a handshake, and he seemed all happy and chipper, and then I find out, oh, he's crapping his pants.
Oh, man, that's what
the ulcers are for.
I've come to learn Nick's one of those people, you got to ask him, like, dude, are you good? You sure? Because he'll play it off and act like everything is hunky-dory, fine and good, all is well, and it is not.
That's like trading places, the guy in the bathroom before the bell rings, and he's like taking a big old swig of Jack Daniels. How's the Elsa? Hasn't bothered me months.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas I'm the opposite. When I answer a question, don't ask me again. Now, that'll really, like, if you ask me, Joe, are you mad? And I say, no. And you go, you sure? Now I'm getting mad. Getting there.
All right.
So
time to run away.
Right. All right. So now let's get into this. We've been teasing this all afternoon. This was something. I was watching the All-Star game last night. I like the NBA All-Star game.
Right.
Please tell me you took the over. They sailed past it by like 40 points.
I like watching the tallest, most athletic human beings on earth do freakish things. Like the bounce pass alley-oop that Giannis put down where when he went up and he just hung in the air for a minute and he grabbed the ball at the top of the square and put it down. Yeah, I'm here for that, guys. I have no problem watching guys throw alley-oops from the parking lot and chuck it from half court. Like, that's All-Star games are supposed to be fun. But I get it for the people that are like, I can't watch it. It's dumb. They don't play any defense. Okay, that's fine. The baseball game, baseball's All-Star game, is dumb as hell. And I'll tell you why it's dumb as hell. It's dumb as hell because, first of all, every team has to be represented. That's dumb. Eh. That's like a participation trophy of All-Stars. Second, I don't think a player for the Reds should determine who gets home field advantage in the World Series.
Haven't they done away with that?
Have they?
I believe they got rid of that after the infamous tie.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I thought they still did that, and obviously
that was a bold strategy, but I don't watch
the actual All-Star game anymore because it's dumb, but I like the home run derby.
Right.
I love the NBA skills contest, the dunk contest, the three-point shootout. I think those are better than the actual game. What I'm getting at, I think I know how to improve all All-Star games.
And I knew you've been excited about this. You were texting me about this last night. Yeah. Tom, I got something.
So we're going to start off with the Pro Bowl. You know how we're going to fix the Pro Bowl?
Flag football.
We're not having the Pro Bowl anymore.
That's right.
All right, that'll work.
Here's what we are going to have. For that. We're going to get all the guys in the league, whoever wants to, like, you can call other guys out. That would be the best, is the call-outs. Challenges. Let's find out who the strongest dude in the league is. Let's see who can bench press the most weight. Let's have a foot race.
Name that
so
tune.
So it's like a combine?
Name that tune, but with 400 pounds.
Yeah. I'm saying, like, let's put it to bed. Who can throw a football over that mountain? What non-quarterback can throw the ball?
That's what I want to see. I want to see the guys in the trenches, the fat guys. I want to see them, like, running, racing, and seeing how – yeah, they. I want them playing flag football.
I want an NFL punt, pass, and kick competition
with
amongst
the chubby
linemen.
Guys. Only the linemen. Only the linemen.
That's the best thing about a fat guy touchdown, because you get the fat guy dance.
Yeah, you know, and God bless SB Nation for handing out, for delivering the Peisman every year. The Peisman Award goes to the largest offensive lineman who made who scored a touchdown. Sheldon Rankins was up for it a couple years ago.
Wow. There you go. Former card. See you.
But yeah, the Pro Bowl by itself is, with the NBA, you get to see the best of their physical capabilities because it is a contact sport, but it's not a contact sport, right? In the Pro Bowl, you got guys who are not going to take away somebody else's salary. And so it's, like you said, it essentially boils down to being a skills competition. Just do away with it and have the skills competition.
Who can make the most one-handed catches?
Right.
I mean, like, just have fun with it. See if you can get some cross-sport athletes to come over and challenge them. Like, who wants a foot race with Usain Bolt? Who's challenging Bolt? I just think
Chad Ochocinco would just crash it every year. And I wouldn't be totally against that.
Hey, man, I'm all for having a senior event where they get old retired players.
Joe Montana back out there. He's going against Troy Aikman.
Now, right. Here's what I would do with the NBA. And I think this would be pretty good. We don't have announcers anymore. No commentators. Both benches get one microphone they can pass around.
I like that idea. I was just about to say, I want to see them mic'd up. I was a little tiny bit disappointed this year.
The only issue with mic'ing up everybody is that would just be like noise pollution.
Oh, yeah. No. So,
but if we just had like...
You do like Lord of the Flies. You pass the conch shell.
Exactly. And just have
and
them...
And you eat the kid that wears the glasses.
Have them given that smoke. I wanted to hear what Russ Westbrook yelled when Giannis put that dunk down.
Right.
And bonus points, if HBO or Showtime will pick it up, and it can be uncensored.
Unedited,
yeah.
I was going to say, we got to find some dispensation. Like ESPN says, you know what? Nick Valvano is excellent with doing the top of the hour station IDs. Maybe you can give us a cut on this one and let us have some fun.
I like it.
Yeah, just bargain.
Thanks
yeah.
for the kind words. I needed that.
I promise to make my top of the hour station IDs on a regular basis. If you let me have curse words in the NBA All-Star game.
That's a fair trade.
It's, I mean, do you all not want to make money? 437-9680. Text in and give me your suggestions for how you would improve All-Star games.
Now, of course, the PGA Tour doesn't really have an All-Star game per se. But I was going to say Topgolf already took the greatest idea ever is you play Tiger Woods with the targets and everything like that. I want to see that.
The Pro-Am or like the par threes, that's kind of fun. Which tournament does that? They have like the par three right beforehand. Like their kids come out and stuff like that. You mic them up because I don't know if they still mic them up, but the Wolf Challenge right across the river over at Covered Bridge and I think they moved it to Champions Point, Fuzzy's other course. They would mic up Fuzzy and his friends and it was blanking hilarious. I mean, when John Daly was there, I mean, he barely set his feet, dude. Just knocks it like 350 down the pike and turns around and goes, "That's good. Give me a beer." Like, mic'd up and everyone's cheering. He like throws his like iron at like cursing into the woods. My friend had to go get it for him because he was a groundskeeper there. I mean, it was hilarious.
Being John Daly's lackey would suck. Like, I love me some John Daly and he is entertaining, but having to just clean
rip
up
it and
after
rip
him.
It.
Do they still do they still have the NBA celebrity game before the All-Star game?
Yeah, it's on Friday night.
Yeah.
Was Quavo the MVP?
Do they
again?
Still do it? Or I remember they did it like back when I was in college, probably. We were in college. They had like the extra baskets where you could score.
No. That's what we're getting to. That was Rockin' Jock.
Rockin' Jock.
That was MTV's Rockin' Jock.
Ooh, yeah.
Bring that back. I don't know why it
Didn't
ever
they do
got
that
retired.
With football, too? Because I remember there was a football one where it was like Warren Moon, and I forgot who the other quarterback was, and it was like Team Nick Lachey and Team Nelly.
Yep.
And they had like mascots jumping on trampolines in the corner of the end zone. And it came down to Nick Lachey, and I swear they probably scripted this, but it was Nick Lachey like on Nelly, like one-on-one. And Nelly made – because both of them were like pretty good. I think one of them played like low-level college, and the other one was like an all-state.
Nelly was – he was a minor league baseball player.
Yeah, they were both really good athletes. And like Nelly made this like great move on Lachey, who was staying with him, and he dove and made this like diving catch in the end zone to win. And it was
– nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And Jessica Simpson was on the sideline. Distraught.
The MTV Rockin' Jock, for those that are either too old to remember or too young, and you got to be somewhere in the middle of like our age. That was must-watch television, and that went down on All-Star Weekend. The NBA put together the celebrity game to kind of, like, compete with MTV because MTV was stealing it, you know, their product, essentially. And for those of you that don't know, they would have in the last 2 minutes of each half, there would be another goal that would be suspended above the goal, like 50 feet in the air, and it was the 50-point bucket.
Yep.
If you made it, it was worth 50 points. I only saw it get hit a couple of times. But it was funny, like, the players that they would have involved in it, because I was so young, I wasn't really watching the NBA yet. I had no idea who Rick Mahorn was. I'm like, who is this tall, scary, angry man who's just running around punking out rappers and pop stars and VJs?
That was the thing about MTV at that time for us, because we were of the generation that was making fun of MTV for not playing music videos anymore. But actually, we were like, yeah, some of this program is pretty cool. It's awesome stuff.
It was, man. And I still remember halftime of the Bills Redskins Super Bowl, flipping it over for Men on Football for the In Living Color halftime show. The halftime shows for years of sporting events. You didn't want to watch the actual event.
Right.
There were other ones that were...
I was thinking about MLS or Premier League. It might not be a viable option, but it was a funny video I saw. They had, like, Ronaldo play against 100 fourth graders.
Oh, wow.
So they just take him and 400 fourth graders and put them on the field and just, like, see what happens.
I think I'm also here to take football players and make them play football and take football players and have them play football.
I like that very much.
Yeah, man, you can't tell me anybody.
That'd be pretty good.
Hey, man, I got to think it'd be tough to cover Messi in the open. I got to think he's really good at getting off the block. I like this suggestion.
Wait. I got some breaking news here I need to ask. I'm doing this on the air because do either of you drive a silver Celica?
Nope.
All right, cool. Because U of L PD just came by and his car needs to move. If so, so I don't know. Whoever's driving a silver Celica in the Cardinaltown area, please move your car because the police department's a little upset at you.
Yeah, come do that. No, just to stay completely on brand.
By the way, we're efforting Jameson Hensley. Anytime I interrupt the show and derail it, I'm just going to go back to that.
So, no, man, just to stay in full fashion of being a UofL fan who sells barbecue sauce out of the trunk of his car. Joe Force One is a red Impala. Got that Shug Knight whip. That's how we're rolling. That's right. I call the car Joe Force One.
Joe Force One. I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah, like, so also getting back on dads, irrational like hatred and just like getting pissed. My dad, when he heard that I call my car Joe Force One, he's like, dude, you can't do that. Go get a girl's name. Sally.
The girl's name Sally.
Or duh. And I'm like, can I call my car Becky with the good hair? I'm like, I don't know what that means. We got a texter that says, bring back Rock and Jock. I'm sure Dan Cortez and Pauly Shore ain't doing much. Yeah.
That was, do you remember Stefan on SNL? This place has everything. MTV's Dan Cortez. Like,
oh,
every other one,
yeah,
was MTV's Dan Cortez. Because honestly, the texter is 100% right. I don't think Dan Cortez is doing a lot these days.
Then for a while, there were about like six, maybe D-list celebrities that were on everything.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Tonya Harding, Danny Bonaduce.
Nobody remembers this. And if you
Dustin
do
Diamond.
Text into the show and let me know I'm not crazy. But MTV also did a promotion here in Louisville for the movie Demolition Man. They imploded a building downtown.
Right.
What?
Yeah, and it was live on MTV. I think it was, I forget what old building it was. It might have been the old water.
Was it for the demolition for the Yum Center?
No, this was like 92.
Hmm.
I will get closer on this matter because I know other people that are like, yeah, we got to go to it, and it was very cool.
Well, I mean, Joe, a scene from Steven Seagal's Fire Down Below was filmed in my hometown and a long stretch of road.
Well, you got us beat. All we got well, is MTV showed up to blow up a building, and Bill Murray did Stripe. So
yeah,
and the original Night of the Living Dead. We've got NFL should do 5-on-5 Pro Bowl. Are you talking like 5-on-5 pickup basketball game? Because if so, that would be interesting. Yeah, did you just cut my mic off?
No, I don't know what that was.
Okay, whatever.
Oh, my arm was on the talk back button.
So I just gave him the credit for doing the top of the hour station ID. Got to take it back. Reeling it back in.
So if that's
God's way of keeping me humble.
If that's a 5-on-5 Pro Bowl, they're saying 5-on-5 Pro Bowl. If you're talking about a 5-on-5 pickup basketball game, that'd be really funny because I've heard amazing stories from guys that used to play in the NFL. Like, for instance, the time Jeremy Shockey beat the Jesus out of Plaxico Burress during a pickup basketball game because Plax refused to get back on defense.
Right.
He was just giving up lobs and alley-oops the whole game, and Shockey wasn't having it and told him, you don't get back on defense one more again, we're going to have to talk about it. And apparently he didn't, and, well,
or how about
they
taking,
had a chat.
How about taking all the NFL All-Stars and letting them rotate through as they take on the New Zealand All Blacks rugby team?
Oh, that could be awesome.
Now, that would be interesting, an NFL team versus the best rugby team.
The thing is, because
they're different sports, man.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm a super big nerd about it because I just want to see New Zealand so I can see them do the haka, that the pregame ceremony they do.
I want to see OBJ do it, too.
Texter says it was the Starks building. Thank you, Texter. I know I wasn't. Or someone else says Belknap building. Either way, it happened. Okay.
Just start texting in
really
all the buildings.
All
the
building done blowed up.
We also
blow up good, blow up real good.
I was going to mention this one before Nick had to do the station ID. This is a good one. All 3-point shots have to be shot with your offhand.
Interesting.
Let's just turn it into horse.
Yeah, I mean, like, seriously, have fun with it, because my argument is that I just don't know that adults can really be entertained. And that brings up another question. Should adults really even give a damn about an All-Star game? Like, why are you getting upset about an All-Star game? Just don't watch the damn thing. It's supposed to be entertaining for children. When I think back on it as a kid, I can tell you exactly where I was for certain moments, like Isaiah Ryder doing the East Bay funk dunk where he went between his legs on the baseline, which I know now that's a very basic standard dunk. Nobody'd seen that.
Right. It was like the 900 from, like, Tony Hawk.
I remember where I was for Vince Carter when he put the show on.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say that Vince Carter was the greatest individual performance I've ever seen in a dunk contest, watching it live. Aaron Gordon versus Zach LaVine a couple years ago was the best back and forth I've ever
seen.
Oh,
yeah. That was really
because
good.
Because if you're able to come up with new dunks in this era,
you're doing something crazy. And when Gordon hopped over the mascot on the Segway and put both legs over him, I mean, that's just insane to be jumping in a seated position.
Who was the first one to really do, like, a prop dunk? Was it the cupcake, Dwight Howard's cupcake?
No, that was Gerald Green who did the cupcake.
Oh, okay,
I would think it would be...
Blake Griffin jumping over the Kia or whatever?
Blake Griffin jumping over the Kia is
I'm not sure it was a Kia. Might have been a Silver Celica. Who knows?
It was a Kia. I want to say it was somebody jumping over another person, though.
Right.
Or I remember somebody had... might have been Amari Stoudemire. Had Steve Nash come out there and bicycle kick it, the ball to him, because Steve Nash is a badass soccer player as well.
Yeah.
And he heel flip kicked it, I think is the right term.
Rainbow or whatever?
I don't know. Ansel text me in a minute and tell me what it's actually
heel flip to the ollie, to the 360 kick.
And he did it from like half court, and Amari put it down, and that was pretty cool. But before that, yeah.
What were the best like head-to-head competitions? I mean,
everybody says Dominique versus Jordan.
MJ, yeah.
And you go back and watch that. Jordan won the first one because they were in Chicago. I mean, I love MJ, but Nick deserved that. Oh, my God.
All the MJ supporters coming in. Ranks. That's all they did.
And I love MJ. Like, absolutely. But that was neat. Spud Webb.
Yeah.
Oh,
that was
nice.
My 5'8" guard brother had the big poster of Spud Webb. I will always remember that because he had delusions of grandeur.
My uncle recruited him. And, like, there was a story, like, he picked him up, like, the airport or something, like, for a recruiting trip. And he was just like, this guy's tiny.
Now, I told Joe about this. My brother actually was pretty good in basketball, but he was a freshman at Xaverian High School in Queens, New York, which is a very prominent. That's where the Mullins went to. And then my family moved to Kentucky. And that threw that one down the drain.
You know, and it's funny because we were bragging earlier about how much this state loves its basketball. But that is one example of, like, you didn't upgrade moving to Kentucky in the basketball sense. Brooklyn's the Mecca.
So what'd you do? I was a freshman at Xaverian High School in Queens, New York, and then I played guard for Powell County High School in Eastern Kentucky. Nothing against my hometown. Love my hometown, but, yeah, just a little bit of a
– Man, we're about to go to break, but I got to think Tom's brother was a ringer.
He still is, man.
God, man, you grow up playing against New York guards and get to come here and play the Powell County All-Stars.
Tom, are you the Nick in your family, and is he the Jamie?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, well, very much. Well, the joke I always make is that it's like the portrait of Dorian Gray. I have to stay fat and out of shape so my brother can stay extremely in shape.
Right. Exactly.
Don't feel bad, Nick. I don't even have a brother, and I'm somehow the Nick. So it could be worse, man. I don't even have a Jamie outshining me. They're just like, we love the neighbor kid. He's so good. It's great. Look at that jawline.
Personality.
He doesn't have to grow a beard like you. Joe Kelly, Tom Farmer. We're going to go to our last break. We're going to come in. Phone lines are open, so you can come join us. We'll talk about whatever you want. We'll kind of do a recap. And seriously, text in if you have any suggestions for how to make All-Star games better.
Yeah, that's a call. 267-9680, 437-9680, UPS Jobs, text lines, The V Show. Joe and Tom filling in for Bobby B.
Welcome back to the B-Show with Joe Kelly, Tom Farmer. So, Nick reminded me of back in the beginning of football season, I did a show, a remote out at Academy Sports. Good folks out there. Hooked me up with a nice grill. If you are in the market for a grill, go see my folks out there. I'll even help you pick one out. You give me your budget, we'll get you set up. We picked that as the intro music, and one of the young interns, Mitch, God bless him. He did not get the instrumental or the edited version. So if you're not familiar with the opening lines of that song, you should go check it out, because as soon as I heard LP's voice, I'm just like, oh, no. Nick had to take his headset off. He was laughing so hard. I was like, we had a really good run. I don't think we're going to be invited back ever again. And make sure that the grill's in the car, because they might not honor.
That's one of the things about radio as you get into the industry. As a listener, when that happens, you're like, oh, that's so cool. And then when you start, you know, messing around in the industry, you're like, oh, God, why?
Yeah, you're like, I mean, the fan in me still thinks it's funny, but do I? Am I going to have a job?
Right.
Did I lose my beer money side hustle? Anyway, Joe Kelly, Tom Farmer, last segment of the V Show. We scrambled to get down here and throw together a show. Talked a little U of L Clemson. Touched on UK just completely punking Tennessee out and ripping their identity and their souls from them. Still got time to text in if your dad had a crazy method of coping after a close game or a loss. As I said, my father's go-to move was going for a drive. And he'd circle the block a couple of times and come home when he was less yelly and angry.
I talked about my brother a bit. My dad wasn't really an intense sports watcher. He just enjoyed the relaxation aspect of it. My brother brought me to my first hockey game, and this was like ECL, you know, lower league stuff. I think it was in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Oh, and, perfect.
Watched a fight, of course, because in the ECL, that was why people went to see the games. And my brother was, I mean, I swear it was like a gladiator in ancient Rome tearing some guy's head off. And my brother was just, give me blood, give me guts, I want it all. And then the fight gets broken up and my brother stands up and says, whew, dang, I need a brew. And so like that shaped my sports, you know, opinion from there on out. I was like, okay, so you watch people hurt each other very much and then you drink alcohol. Okay, and to this day, you know.
You know, man, I've never been a real vocal viewer, which is odd because I'm a loudmouth in, like, all other walks of life, right? And then when sports come on, I'm just I just zip it. And I go into my own little happy place.
Yep.
That way, even if this goes sideways and gets derailed, I'm not going to embarrass myself. Like, I can be embarrassed by the team that I cheer for, but I don't have to embarrass myself. When your team takes an L and your rivals are giving it to you, I'm like, yeah, it sucks, man. But, like, personally, this one ain't on me. I wasn't the one out there handing the ball over to the opposing team.
We might have to do a second screen experience live stream of Joe and Tom watching sports because it's Tom on one couch, Joe on the other couch, and we're watching the game. It's like, what's tomorrow?
here's the thing.
Chill experience.
Tom will come over to my house to watch a game. And we're back and forth bantering with one another, getting caught up on everything, you know, that we've had going on in our world since the last time we hung out a couple of days ago. and we go through that. And then as soon as the game comes on, radio silence.
Yeah.
We don't say anything. And we turn into, like, the guys on King of the Hill. Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good analogy. I like that. That's spot on.
Yeah. I mean, about the most you're going to get out of us when it's not a commercial break is, well, that was ugly. What are you doing? Ooh, I like. You know? So we keep it to a minimum. 237-9680 if you want to get in here and talk to us. Let us know. Also, we're talking about how to improve All-Star games. The other thing that I wanted to toss out there that I think the NBA All-Star game is as close to perfect as you can get for an All-Star game. I have had a buddy of mine texting me about baseball, and he mentioned some things that I kind of get that. You're either a baseball guy or you're not. And I'm of the belief that if you take me to the ballpark and you buy me my peanuts and Cracker Jacks, I'll have a blast. Baseball's fun to go and attend because it's a social event with sports in the background.
I experience baseball in two ways. I go to the ballpark, and it's a outdoor experience. Like Elise, my wife, she goes to the games with me when it's baseball because she can get a funnel cake, she can get Cracker Jacks, and she can just enjoy the outside, right? Then the second thing, and because I played baseball growing up and I love baseball, is listening on the radio. Because in the summertime, it's like come home, pour a little shot of bourbon, sit down, listen to Marty Brenneman broadcast the Reds here on ESPN 680, and you know, just chill. And that's how I feel about it.
I think a good play-by-play color guy in baseball is one of the most talented people who talks for a living. Because, like, Sean Moth is a wizard of vocabulary and conversation. Because you're essentially having a baseball game run about, what, 3 hours?
Yeah, about three
two
hours.
And a half, 2.5, 3 hours. You're having a conversation with yourself for 3 hours. That's hard, man.
Yes.
If I had to do baseball, we'd be – we got a guest in the third inning, got a guest in the fifth inning, seventh inning stretch, bring me a guest. Because there's only so much you can say without repeating yourself. And only so many ways you can compliment attendance in the weather.
I was talking to Nick Curran, who, of course, broadcaster for women's basketball. He also hosts the Jeff Waltz Show on Tuesday nights over on 93.9. I was talking about the U of L just finished up a series with UConn out there, and he said, yeah, you know, by the third game in the series, you really run out of stuff to talk about.
Well, I hadn't even thought about that, yeah. That aspect of it. But, yeah, I mean, we all get mad when the National Acts pick up the your local team, because they all go to the same press clippings. They find the same story. It's the – well, Tom, I don't know if you know this, but Stephon LaFors is the only member of his family with the gift of hearing.
Did you know Chris Mack's wife is from Louisville?
Yeah.
Ryan McMahon. Dick Vitale spotted him. Not sure if you heard. You know, and it's like – and you roll your eyes and you go, we know.
Yeah.
Well
– So, Nick, who got traded from the Ravens?
I love that we got Nick totally zoned out. No, we were just totally seeing if you were listening.
I heard something about tickets. What about tickets? What about tickets?
Wasn't there a trade involving Baltimore and Denver?
Something like that. I think they gave
quarterback, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. Oh, yeah. Joe Flacco went. Oh, I got to see if Jameson Hensley got back to me, so we can talk about that.
John Elway is out here collecting tall, terrible quarterbacks like Pokemon. I'm waiting for Ryan Mallett to get a call.
Completes his set.
Yeah, like John Elway's like, man, there's got to be
a first edition. Check him out, guys.
There's got to be another useless tall guy who can fling it. Not fling it efficiently or fling it to the spot that you want him to fling it to, but, man, he's out there doing it. We got a couple of texts to get caught in on. TCZ boys taking over. Earthy here. Me and the wife have a deal after tough losses. I don't think I have to say anymore. Good for you, Ethy, and don't forget about our good friends at Blue Chew. See what I did there?
Nice.
I have a couple of texters that are – We have sparked debate on what building MTV blew up, but they did blow up a building is the important thing. And the reason why I remember this is because my dad went all nerd. This is something you can appreciate, Tom, because this was like my dad did how you would have acted if you'd been viewing this. Do you know what the difference between an implosion and an explosion is? And when I said no, my father hadn't lit up like that since the time I said no. I don't know the difference between a stalactite and a stalagmite.
Come on, Joe. The stalactites stick tight to the ceiling.
Right.
That's how you remember that.
But they are arguing. They are saying, this is what I think it is. Sweeney might actually know this. He's a Louisville guy. Sweeney, do you remember back in the day when MTV came to town and they blew up a building to promote the movie Demolition Man?
Unfortunately, you'll have to repeat everything just said
because
Nick was handing me the headphones.
Andy
broke the soundboard all at the same time.
That's fine. That's fine. That was an amateur move on my part because I saw you putting the headset on and just kept talking to you as if you could hear it. So
we could have turned the mic off on this end too, but we didn't. So yeah,
well, you know, that's what we do. We fling it.
All right, MTV. All right. What? That's the last thing I heard.
Do you remember MTV coming to Louisville and blowing up the building to promote the movie Demolition Man? Because I remember it vividly.
Man. Yeah.
And we've got texters. We're trying to figure out what the building was without cheating and Googling it. And we've had
a couple of
people that say it was the old Belknap building. A couple of people who said it's the old Humana building. I think it was the Humana building.
The Humana building was the Riverside building that we blew up for the Yum Center.
And then I definitely think it was the old Starks building. And I remember the whole Demolition Man ordeal. It was awesome.
No, I honestly, I remember it, but I don't remember the building. I remember seeing...
I'll take the fact that you remember it.
Yeah, I remember seeing MTV's Wee Man was at 4th Street Live like 5 different times. He also shut down the Knock Bar one time.
You don't get to just walk away and not tell me more about this. Wee Man from Jackass?
Dude, he's been in town like a bunch of different times.
Wow.
I've had buddies that have seen him out probably 5 times in the last like 6 or 7 years. And there's like a long... Man,
does he do
probably,
like the celebrity bartender thing?
No,
he
just shows up and they're like, holy bleep, it's Wee Man. Like 6, 7 years ago, they had, not jousting, what do you call it? Where they run with the thing and they try to jump over the high jump thing.
Pole vaulting.
Yes, I'm trying to say they run with the stick without saying they run with the stick.
Yeah.
He was just down there chilling out. There was a bunch of amateurs in their little onesies who were all jumping.
I gotta be honest. One of my favorite things about this city is the random occurrences and appearances by celebrities that just show up and are like, yeah, I like it here, so I chill. Like when the NBA had the lockout and Chris Smith was playing here, so we got the summer of Swish, and JR was just running topless through downtown. Oh my God, man. Everybody in the city that was working in a bar at that point in time has a JR Smith story, man, and he's awesome.
That's the advantage of Derby. People come here for Derby, and they're like, some of these spots are kind of cool.
It's low-key and chill.
They'll just run back.
I thought you were going to say everyone just got pregnant with J.R. Smith running around shirtless downtown Louisville.
Hey, maybe they did. Maybe they did. I will just say of all
You guys got to be stretching for content if we're talking J.R. Smith at 251 right now.
This is what happens when you get very short notice and you're not given adequate time to prep for more than what you thought was going to be an hour.
Yeah, it's no offense to you guys, but I did say to Nick Valvano as he's apparently Bob doesn't have a voice like he's sick, and I was like, "Listen, you can be tall, fat, short, ugly, hairless, no arms, no legs, but you have to have a voice to actually be on the radio."
This is why they let us around.
But I'm like, TBG and roommate Tom, who I didn't know his last name until the last rejoin that you guys did, I'm like, what did they have going on this Monday to where they both just sprinted in the studio?
Well, I was making barbecue, believe it or not.
Well, of course you were making barbecue. And I know that. You didn't have to explain yourself.
I am personally so amazing at my job that I have a lot of free time. Let's put it that way.
Of course, your job is making Louisville City FC mixtape videos. So that's pretty easy.
He's retired.
I'm retired now.
You're retired. There you go.
I'm full on Crunch Zone, baby.
Okay, so we've got – it was the Belknap building. Wikipedia, the movie, it tells you. It wasn't a promotion. They actually used it in the film.
Nice.
So there you go.
Was that the opening sequence where he's trying to catch Simon Phoenix?
I would assume so. When they blow the building up,
blow the bus up. Yeah. Hey, Nick, do you know how to use the three seashells? No, I know how to use the three seashells.
He doesn't know how to use the seashells.
I also know about the Hunka Chunka.
Yes, God. Demolition Man was a great movie.
That is an underrated movie.
It's held up pretty well.
Yeah,
it really has. The Taco Bell. We'll see if they do win the franchise wars.
That's right.
All right, folks. Joe Kelly, Tom Farmer. We've been sitting in for Bob. Hope he gets to feeling better. He apparently has no voice, as Andy just said. So hopefully he's sipping warm tea and honey.
I'll toss it in real quick as we approach the 3 o'clock hour. We did briefly mention UofL women's basketball with Nick Curran there. Of course, a lot of folks probably saw UofL women's basketball dropped one to Miami last night, and a little bit disappointing. Miami was the 20th ranked team. UofL was the second ranked. They dropped to number 4, which is not bad because all of the teams at the top, Baylor, Notre Dame, UofL, UConn, have all lost to somebody. So it's just kind of topsy-turvy. But
and you kind of predicted that there was going to be another in-conference loss, right?
I'm feeling really good about myself because I said I don't think they're going to beat Notre Dame, and they didn't, and I think they're going to drop one other random game, and this hopefully was it. But it's that exciting time in Louisville as we're chomping at the bit waiting for St. Patrick's Day to kind of kick off everything, because that's how, I mean, you get Selection Sunday, St. Patrick's Day, everything just starts happening all at once and the ball starts rolling and you just get a whole ton of basketball.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's a very good point, actually. I'd never really thought about that. It is sort of the kickstart to all of it. I always think spring is around the corner when we have the spring game. Ha. Because it's always like you have that, and then the chow wagons are up, and it's thunder over Louisville, and next thing you know, we're all planning for the for the race.
I always remember because we would do St. Patrick's Day, and then the next weekend was always St. Baldrick's, the head shaving charity. Now it's like Chili's Clip for Kids. Well, they still do St. Baldrick's too, and that was always the same day as Selection Sunday. So you'd get your head shaved and then go watch Selection Sunday, and then roll right into it.
Nice. I'm actually growing my beard out this year for a charity.
Yeah, Joe. I think he wasn't necessarily trying to subtweet me, but I felt like he subtweeted me when he was talking about how it's difficult to find your buddies and say, you know what, that bald spot's getting a little bit big. Why don't you just go ahead and do what you need to do? Just quit trying to lie to yourself,
man. You know,
some people's lives where they wake up in the morning, look in the mirror, and say to themselves, oh, my God, I'm going bald.
Hey, man, I'm telling you.
Check
for
out
me,
the Parsley Waldman.
For me, it was I knew it was creeping up because when I would get out of the shower, the top of my head, like, you could see my scalp.
Right.
Like, there was, like, lines. It looked like I just had lines of hair. So then when, you know, then when you figure out, like, I'm spending way too much. I'm spending more time fixing my hair than my wife fixes hers. because if you position it right, it doesn't look like it. And then Biscuit sent me a picture from, like, overhead at the Yum Center. And I came, and my wife always argued with me. She's like, no, you're not going bald. I'm pretty sure I'm going bald. And then Biscuit sent me that picture. And I came home. I said, damn it, woman. I'm putting my foot down. I'm shaving my head because I'm not going to become a meme. The Youngs,
become a meme.
The Youngs are savage. And they're going to make me a meme. I'm going bald and I'm shaving my head. She's like, you're not going bald. And I showed her the picture and I said, lies. You're a full foot shorter than me. You have no idea.
You can't
That's
see
a good
it.
Point.
And then when I bent over and showed her the crown of my head, she goes, yeah, I'll go get you the clippers. That doesn't look good. Thanks, wife. Thanks. But that's when I came to my terms with it. And, no, I mean.
There you go. I was trying to. I clicked that when you said, turns out I was bald. And yeah.
Nick, do you know from. What movie that soundbite is from?
Oh, God. I should.
Mel Brooks' Young Frankenstein.
Damn it.
I think it's from something older than that, but that's what I remember it from.
Just to remind you all again, right now at Shively Sporting Goods, you can get 50% off Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour apparel and shoes. It's all new inventory, not leftovers. Sale will last until it's gone. These are fall and spring new items. Quarter zips, warm-ups, polos, long sleeves, shoes, hoodies, crew neck sweatshirts, pocketed sweatpants. Go see our friends at Shively Sports. They will get you together.
Just keep mentioning ESPN.
Yeah, people. And again, and then at the end of it, say, and they're real. And they're strong, and they're my friends.
Just with all of them, I think that should. I want to do that where we end the show with us just naming ESPN like personnel,
radio personnel.
Then we fade out. We play a commercial for Universal Windows, and then we fade back in, and it's just and Mark Ennis and Mark Blankenbaker and Joe Kelly, and then fade it back out, and then play a spot for Focus, and then fade it back in, and Brian Hall and Moon Mullins and The Process, and Will Perdue back in the day, and then just like fade it out and just keep doing that throughout the. That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. That's a good idea. We're gonna end it on that one because you always end it on a good one. Hey, folks, we held this one together with duct tape, spit, moxie, and grit. We appreciate you all for hanging out with us and forgiving us for our shortcomings. And hope to do this again sometime. Tom,
thanks
thank
for
you.
Having me.
Hey, guys, seriously, thank you for filling in on short notice.
I appreciate it. No problem. Wish we could have got down here quicker, but we made it work. Enjoy your Monday, folks. You're halfway home.
Listening to Kentuckiana's ESPN 680, WHBE Newburgh and 105.7 WHBE FM Eminence Frankfort.
Buy the Reds Pick 6 plan presented by McDonald's and receive an exclusive oversized Joey Votto bobblehead. You can pick any 6 games, including Fireworks Fridays and Bobblehead Saturdays, while saving up to 25%. Plus, you get 6 McDonald's Extra Value Meal vouchers. Be a part of the historic 150th season by purchasing the Reds Pick 6 plan. Get yours today at reds.com/tickets. Some restrictions apply.
Time now for an ESPN Louisville Sports Center update.
Good afternoon. I'm Nick Valvano. The Sports Center update brought to you by Universal Windows Direct. Buy one window, get one free, 0% financing for 36 months and free installation. You'll be saying, I love my windows. Kentucky basketball, they knock off number 1 Tennessee in Lexington Saturday, 86-69. Nice. That's good enough to make them the 4th ranked team in the land, according to today's AP results that came out a little earlier this morning. The Cats this weekend were led by P.J. Washington's 23. After the game, Coach Calipari saying that Reed Travis's play definitely played into a big night from P.J.
The difference maker in the game for us was Travis. Now, his numbers, 11 and 8,
shouted,
and you can
man.
Say what you want, but he was a beast against another beast. Like, it negated that. You're not going to dominate us. By him being able to do that, PJ didn't have to play him. So now PJ could go and do what he does. I told PJ, you need to hug my man after that game.
Cats, their next in action tomorrow against Missouri at 9. That can be seen on ESPN. U of L, they escaped Clemson this weekend 56-55 thanks to a last-second block by Jordan Noir. CC, he led the way for the Cards with 18 points and 5 assists post-game. Chris Mack talking about the rock fight that was this U of L Tigers matchup.
It was a hard game to score. You know, when you miss a shot against Clemson, they're not going to race it back up and try to attack. I'm going to play that tennis match. You know, I give our kids credit for being able to withstand that mental grind. We're going to play a couple other teams are going to do that to us as well and not let it diminish our defensive effort.
Yes, I know, Magic. That wasn't my best throw. Thank you. The Cards, they're on the road Wednesday when they take on Syracuse. That game, 7 p.m. on ESPN. Jason Anderson, he has the zone. Coming to you next. It's ESPN 680, 105.7.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
UPS is now hiring package handlers in Louisville. Package handlers earn competitive wages. And with UPS's Metropolitan College program, you can graduate 100% debt-free. Get in the game with UPS. Apply now at upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com.